Praise the Lord, he's our Jubilee! For the brothers and sisters who are just joining us today, the Jubilee is here! Amen. And the Jubilee is enterable today, Amen. Right now. So the message today is on the titled, The Living of the Jubilee and the Enjoyment of Christ as the Jubilee. And so, you know, we certainly need to be entering into the Jubilee right now, but also our desire and goal is that we also enter into a living of the Jubilee. And this living of the Jubilee really is just the God-man living, right? Amen. A living that is vital in enjoying Christ as the all-inclusive portion. Amen. You know, as I was considering these messages of this entire conference, there are truckloads of treasures of Christ to be enjoyed, right? For us to declare and enjoy to one another, but also to declare to all those around us, right? And so this treasure is our inheritance, right? And is us for us to enjoy. So how about let's declare the title together. Living of the Jubilee and the Enjoyment of Christ as the Jubilee. Right. So praise the Lord, he is our Jubilee. Amen. And you know, as I was considering about living a life of the Jubilee, you know, sometimes if I look at myself introspectively, sometimes I say, oh, you know, I have much to learn. But here, as a fellow member in the body, I want to proclaim that I am a learner with you. Amen. A learner with you to learn to live a life in the Jubilee and to enjoy the Lord as the Jubilee. So how about let's read Roman numeral 1. The living of the Jubilee is a living in the enjoyment of Christ, a living of enjoying God as our inheritance and real freedom. Amen. Christ is our real freedom. Christ is our inheritance. So Acts 26:18, it's a wonderful verse here. Let me pull it up here. And it speaks concerning how we can enjoy him as our inheritance. So it says in Acts 26:18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, Amen. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So Christ is our inheritance. Amen. How about declare to your neighbor, Christ is my inheritance. So the fact is, Christ is our inheritance. Amen. He is ours to enjoy. And as our inheritance, it gives us access to the Lord as the unsearchable rich one. So then we also see in John 8:36 that when the Lord sets us free, we are freed indeed. Amen. So all we need to do is when we turn back to the Lord frees us. Amen. So how about declare to your neighbor, we are freed indeed. And declare, Jesus has set us free. So what I love about these two verses is that it almost provides a key or a blueprint of how we enter into living of the Jubilee, right? Acts 26:18, first it talks about we need our eyes opened, right? You know, we know, especially those who have been in the church life a long time, we know we have a wonderful all-inclusive Christ, right? But then sometimes we don't enjoy as much, right? So first we need to open our eyes, right? And then we need to be transferred, right, from darkness to light. So spending time with the Lord to let the Lord shine on us, right, expose all their darkness so that his light can shine. And certainly to be exposed of all the bondage from the authority of Satan, all the things that Satan does to cheat us, right, and restore us back to the authority of God so that we can receive forgiveness of sins, right? And then our inheritance, right? And so when we confess The Lord releases us, right? Frees us from the bondage of Satan to God and restores us back to the enjoyment of God. So how about, let's read A. The living of the Jubilee, that is the kind of life that lives in the Jubilee, is a life of resting in the good land and enjoying the riches of the good land. So, praise the Lord! We can enjoy the Lord as the good land. You know, in Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 10, it talks about this good land is filled with water brooks, springs, fig trees, pomegranates, honey and wheat. Good land is a wonderful place. Even recently, I was in Vancouver at some full-timer's house, and they had this beautiful fig tree loaded with fruit. It's been a long time since I've seen an actually loaded fig tree with fruit. And like within 5 minutes, we picked some fig trees, bucketfuls of figs, right? You know, I was going to eat one. I ate five, right? Big, juicy, sweet figs. And as I was eating the figs, it just reminded me, we have access to the Lord as our good land. Amen. So, you know, it would be a shame if I went to this fig tree and just studied and looked from afar. What a beautiful fig tree. But did not partake of the riches of the fig tree, right? So likewise, the Lord has put us in the good land.
Amen.
We can enjoy the Lord as the fig tree, with the honey and the water brooks, right, and the wheat, right, the pomegranates, these are all for us to enjoy.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for the good land.
Amen.
So how about let's read B. Our Christian life should be a life full of liberty, freedom, and release, a life full of rest, satisfaction, and enjoyment. Amen. So when we are living a life in the Jubilee, it is a life full of freedom.
Amen.
Oh, full of satisfaction. So full of enjoyment. Full of rest. But when we're not living there, then there's no satisfaction, enjoyment, and rest. So therefore, that brings us to number one. And it says here, Luke 15:23 indicates that the Christian life should be a life of enjoyment. And bring the fattened calf, slaughtered it, and let us eat and be merry.
Amen.
A, the result of the prodigal son's coming into the father's house was that he and all those in the house could eat, drink, and be merry.
Amen.
This indicates that we should eat Christ as the fattened calf, drink the living, life-giving spirit, and be merry in the enjoyment of the triune God and in the riches of the father's house. You know, as many of the brothers have already shared, isn't the prodigal son our story, right? You know, you might, as a church kid, you know, sometimes I think of the prodigal son, oh, you know, that's kind of the backslidden ones. They haven't met for a while. But I realize that how often in our, even church life, week-to-week church life, we find suddenly we're enslaved, right? We can't exercise our spirit. Something is holding us back, right? Before you know it, we're eating pig's food, right? I really appreciate that we need to, in this case, open our eyes. Let the Lord shine on us on the situation of where we are, whether we are the prodigal son or, as Will mentioned, even the elder son who was in the house but wasn't even enjoying, right? Was actually complaining to the father. But if you look at the verse right after that, the father tells the elderly son, all that is mine is yours. So whether you're in the house or you're enslaved somewhere else, we have access to the Lord, right? As the real Jubilee, right? He is our portion to enter in. And so don't let the enemy cheat you of our portion in the Father's house. And then when the Lord shines on us and exposes our situation, it's an opportunity to turn back to the Lord. Confess to the Lord the things that enslave us. And return to enjoy the Father's house.
Amen.
To come back to our family.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. We can enjoy Christ in the Father's house. Even practically, you know, when I was considering the prodigal son, even in the morning time when we come to the Lord, you know, that's an opportunity for us to enter in fully to enjoy the Father's house, right? I think one of the brothers was sharing just yesterday about sometimes an email comes at night and you can't sleep. There's anxiety, right? But likewise, in the morning, turn off your emails, right? So that you can spend time to enter in fully, right? To enjoy the Lord, right? Enter fully in to enjoy all the riches of the Father's house. Okay, number two. In 1 Corinthians 5:8, we see that the Christian life is a feast. Let us therefore keep the feast. Not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and evil, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The feast here refers to the feast of unleavened bread as a continuation of the Passover. This feast lasted for 7 days, the period of a complete course, signifying the entire period of our Christian life, from the day of our conversion to the day of rapture. A feast is not a time of working. Rather, it is a time for eating, enjoyment, satisfaction, and rest. In the Christian life, Christ should be our food, enjoyment, satisfaction, and rest. So what I really appreciate here, you know, that this feast, first of all, the Lord is our feast, right? But not only just when we come to the conferences, but it's for our whole Christian life, right? Here, 7 days indicates completion. So what this means is that from our day of our salvation to the day that we are raptured is an opportunity to enjoy the Lord as our feast. Amen. He is available and real, and every day, whether we've been in the church life for 1 day or for 70 years, every day is an opportunity for us to lay hold of the Lord. Amen. Enter in to enjoy the Lord as our feast. Amen. And even from even as I'm considering this, it's good to declare even every day, Lord, I choose to keep the feast today. Amen. By keeping the feast, this keeps us in the living and the enjoyment of Christ as the Jubilee. Amen. Okay, so let's go to 3. In Ephesians 3:8, Paul says, to me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, to preach to the nations the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. The riches of Christ are what he is to us, such as light, life, righteousness, and holiness for our experience and enjoyment. These riches are unsearchable and untraceable. The Christian life is a life of enjoying the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so this inheritance gives us access to the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this riches of Christ, there's more riches there that we can enjoy. And so every day, every morning, during the day, in the evening, is an opportunity to be filled with Christ. You know, there's a song that Brother Jim and I were considering. We will eat until we're hungry no more. The Lord is our rich feast, right? It's spending time in the morning to contact the Lord. And as the evening, turning off your iPhone and getting into the Word to contact the Lord. I was considering even during the day. I think one brother was sharing about, you know, sometimes morning and evenings were good, but the days were hard. But there are many opportunities for us to contact the Lord during our busy day. Right? For me, I work, you know, a Silicon Valley busy job. But even between meetings, you can call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Or, you know, these days there are apps for a lot of different things. Some silly things like, you know, some person may make an app where you stand up just to be healthy in the middle of the day, every hour, right? So all kind of silly apps. But why not create a reminder on your iPhone to contact the Lord, right? You know, I have a reminder on my phone periodically in a week that says, enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. So you'll be in the middle of the meeting and suddenly it pops up. Turn to the Lord, right? Another one is breathe in Jesus. So if you even consider this conference, and if you enjoy any of these riches, stick it into your phone and put a reminder to yourself. It grants us opportunity to get a divine interruption, right? Amen. To enjoy the Lord during the day, right? Amen. Our unsearchable rich Christ is rich. Amen. Okay, so number 4. In Philippians 1:19, Paul speaks of the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Christian life is a life of enjoying this bountiful supply. Amen. So the Lord is bountiful and it is for us to enjoy. C, to be in the Jubilee is to eat the Lord Jesus as the real produce of the good Lamb. Take him as our dwelling place for our rest and be freed from the slavery of sin and from the bondage of law and religion. So you know, Colossians 1:12 says that the Lord has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. The Lord has already done it all, right? He has qualified us for a portion of Christ, right? And so we don't need to feel like we need to do something for the Lord. In fact, when the prodigal son returned to the father, he wanted to be a servant for the father. And so, you know, our concept, okay, I'm going to do something for the Lord. But actually, you're already qualified, right? We are qualified to enjoy the Lord, to exercise and partake and enjoy our portion of Christ. So, D, and this is actually one of my burdens for the message. The only way to be released from the three kinds of labor in human life, the labor to be good person, the labor of anxiety, the labor of suffering, is to take Christ. Take Christ as our enjoyment, satisfaction, and rest. So it's interesting here, as I was considering this message, you know, we know about trying to be good or anxiety or suffering, but it uses a word here, labor, right? So these things are a problem because in our human life, because trying to be good is a labor, right? A labor to be good, to try to improve ourselves, right? And of course, we know in Ephesians 2:8, it says, not by works we are saved, right? It's not by works. It doesn't accomplish anything. But moreover, the labor of anxiety, right? So who here sometimes has anxiety? I have anxiety sometimes, right? So this labor of anxiety could be over many different things, over health. It could be over job, over even our children, right? The only way to escape this anxiety is by enjoying the Lord, right? You know, it says in Philippians 4, in nothing be anxious, by everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, right? And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So the labor of anxiety, the Lord frees us from this. And then suffering, the labor of suffering. And this aspect of suffering is very interesting in the ministry, where it talks about when it is, things become a suffering to us when we lose things that we love. So if there's something that we love and we lose that, then that is a suffering. And so to be free from the suffering, we just need to be restored back to the Lord as our first love, day by day to contact the Lord. And so, you know, there's a portion in the excerpt from the reading in the outline, and it talks about how even seeking Christians may not live a life of jubilee. So seeking Christians, on the contrary, because they love things other than God, they have of suffering instead of enjoyment, satisfaction, and rest. Success or failure, these are not enjoyment, satisfaction, and rest. And so there's a false perception in Christianity in some places where they try to preach a gospel of prosperity. But actually, in suffering or in success or failure, there is no satisfaction and then there's no rest. There is anxiety, right, and suffering. And so what I really appreciate here is that we need just to turn back to the Lord, right? Exercise our spirit and even be under the Lord's shining so that he could expose all other loves. I'm reminded here, just to touch us a little more, of Jeremiah 2:13. And it says, it basically says that my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewing out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. And for those who are a little bit new to us, you know, cisterns, they're not just little jars. They're actually quite deep, like big underground vessels that were so big you can fall into and get stuck, right? It's really big. So to hew out a cistern is not a small thing. It's quite a big labor. And so the tragedy of hewing cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water, is you labor hard, right, to build a cistern, but yet with the hope of getting water, but the water leaks away. Isn't that the story of the labor of anxiety, right? And then when the water goes away, it becomes a labor of suffering, right? And so there are two kinds of people that I relate to, because I fall into this category. One is working ones and parents. And so as a working one, you consider us Silicon Valley, right? Silicon Valley, it's full of anxiety and suffering, right? In fact, I would say, I would even argue, you could call it Silicon Anxiety, right? Isn't it? Silicon Valley is Silicon Anxiety, right? You know, people are seeking after high positions, success, reputation, maybe a startup to change the world, right? Or maybe getting a new job or losing your job, or even office politics, right? These are things that bring us anxiety, right? And they are contrary to the much more life in our spirit. John 5:10 says, much more we will be saved in his life. Amen. We have the much more life in our spirit, right? And so, you know, as a working one, I am always vigilant and reminded that there is a tide of this Silicon Anxiety or valley, right? And we may start out in our job maybe with an intent of being a working full-timer, right? I'm going to work to serve the Lord. But the subtle tide day by day drags us down, and eventually you find I'm in bondage. Sometimes I'm eating like pig's food, right? And so and therefore we begin to not have as much rich enjoyment of the Lord. And the reason why this occurs is the enemy shortchanges our time with the Lord. When we're before the Lord, and even when maybe confess something to the Lord, suddenly your phone rings, email comes in, anxiety fills our being, and that thing, that love that we needed to confess, got skipped because we catch the train to work, right? Isn't that our story? That's certainly my story, right? And eventually, before you know it, you're like 3 miles down the river, right? And so I really appreciate that we need to just be free from the labor of suffering and anxiety, right? Come back to drinking the Lord as the fountain of living water. Enjoy him enjoy him fully, right? And then, you know, really quickly, for parents, me as a parent, I really appreciate the sharing in the ministry that, you know, certainly, you know, as parents, you know, we always want the best for our children. And, I love my children. But even loving our children to a certain extent can cause a bondage for us, can cause a labor of anxiety, right? And I live in Palo Alto, and a lot of people there are very anxious about their kid in kindergarten going to Ivy League schools, right? And so it's a whole world of anxiety, and that by itself is like a tide. Like, you know, you get suddenly, you're like, oh yeah, I should be thinking about that too, right? And so, but then eventually, if that becomes the first place in our being, not only is it a labor of anxiety, that could be a labor of suffering, because if we put the first something else beside the Lord as the first place in our heart, that happens to our children as well, right? And eventually, perhaps they don't love the Lord. They may get into the school, but they might not love the Lord, right? And so, you know, our prayer, even as a parent, is that, Lord, may my children go to the best school for the best enjoy of the Lord, right? Best school so that they can be lovers of Christ, right? And so, so praise the Lord. And so, you know, I just come back to Acts 26:18 then, is that, so therefore, you know, on these different labors of human life, labor to be good, the labor of suffering, and the labor of anxiety, we just need to be before the Lord day by day. Confess to the Lord, let the Lord shine on us to transfer us out of darkness into light, right? To release us from the authority of Satan, to come back to God, right? And enjoy the Lord fully till we're hungry no more, right? So that that we can be restored back to today's enjoyment and inheritance of the Lord. Okay, so I think I have 4 minutes left. So let me just continue on E. The Christian life should be a life full of enjoying the Lord, a life full of joy and praises. Amen. When we enjoy the Lord fully, he becomes our jubilee. Amen. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 18 says, always rejoice, unceasingly praise, in everything give thanks. And so, you know, every day is a new opportunity for us to enjoy the Lord. So let's go to F. Let's see here. The living of the Jubilee is a life in which we take God himself, Christ himself, in every situation. Then he becomes the primary factor and center in us to lead us and overrule all the troubles of human life. And so, you know, in John chapter 6, it talks about how, you know, the troubles in human life is reflected by churning seas, right? And we know that for those who have studied the word, you know that, you know, the Lord walks on water, right? And then eventually he calms the sea. But I really appreciate one word in that sequence is the word willing, right? The disciples were willing to take him into the boat, right? So the Lord is our Jubilee, right? He's already accomplished everything for us. The inheritance is ours. But day by day, moment by moment, is an opportunity to let the Lord come into our boat, right? To overcome the suffering situation and for us to enjoy him as the all-sufficient grace. And certainly, isn't this our experience? You know, even in the church life training, there is much turning our heart to the Lord, right? And even much confessing and contacting the Lord to obey the sense of life, right? So to be willing and let the Lord operate in our being, right? So praise the Lord that he is, praise the Lord, we can be willing, right? And he is the overcoming one. Okay, G. Paul learned the secret of living in the Jubilee, the secret of gaining Christ in any kind of environment. And so Paul, in Philippians 4, you know, we see that Paul learned the secret of living in the Jubilee. He can enjoy Christ in all kinds of environment. And I learned this word, I love this word here. He learned the secret to be filled and to hunger. I am able to do all things in him who empowers me. And so, so as I mentioned in the beginning, you know, I as a member in the body of Christ, I am learning with you, right? And, you know, until, you know, the Lord's transforming us, and we're still all in process, but every day is an opportunity to learn more, right? To exercise our spirit, to pray and contact him in the word, right? To partake of him bit by bit, day by day, morning, day, and evening, to enjoy him as our Jubilee. So how about let's read H together. Everything is under his sovereignty. We should pray, Lord, fill me, gain me, possess me. No matter what my outward situation, I just want to enjoy you. Amen. I just want to enjoy you. So may the Lord grant us eyes, open eyes. May the Lord shine on us brightly so that we can not only see the living of the Jubilee and the enjoyment of the Jubilee, but that we may enter in the living and enjoyment of Christ as the Jubilee. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How about let's declare Christ is our Jubilee together. Christ is our Jubilee. Amen.
I have to tell you, at the start of my sharing, I realized as I was enjoying this matter of Jubilee that particularly was brought out by Brother Minoru in the recent training. I counted the years, and this is my Jubilee year. Hallelujah! I don't know fully what that means, but anyway, it's. I have hope. Amen. Saints, this tonight, this message, we just, for those who may not have been here earlier, in the first message, Brother Gary introduced us and Brother Will to the first subject. We have this, let's take out our message packet, okay? And let's read the four titles of the message, plus the general subject. Okay, start with the general subject and then read the four together, all right? With a good exercise spirit, all right? Go. Proclaiming the Jubilee, the age of the Jubilee, the blessings of the Jubilee, the living in the Jubilee, the propagation of the Jubilee. This is the subject of this gathering this weekend, and this is a significant time, I believe, in the Lord's recovery and in the world's situation and in the Lord's fulfilling His eternal purpose in this age through the local churches and through the ministry of this age. First, we saw this age beginning with the Lord's quoting from the prophet Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, I think. The Lord quoted, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and recovery of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Amen. Something like that. I don't think I memorized it that well. That declaration was the beginning of Jubilee. Amen. That was the beginning. And the Lord went on to say, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ear." That was the heralding, that was the proclaiming of Jubilee. And we saw that, partially this is on the definition, the Jubilee was a time in the Jewish calendar every 50 years. But it didn't start in the 50th year, it started in the 49th year. Did you know that? It started in the 49th year. And it heralded the coming of Jubilee to the people of Israel, because in the last 50 years, the allotment that they had been given by God was forfeited, was forsaken, was lost to a great extent. And what God had intended for His people, that they would enjoy their allotted portion, and they would be rejoiced together with their people Israel, had been lost. So the Lord, in His wisdom and mercy and His love, actually, this is His, I was talking to a young brother, where are you, Joel? He just graduated from UC Berkeley with a degree in political economy. I would like to challenge you, Brother Joel, if you can find me anything equivalent in secular human economy like the Jubilee. You know, I think it's worth at least 4 or 5 PhDs. If you want to get a PhD, major in political economy, and then expose everyone to the economies of this earth and the economy of God. Amen. Every 50 years, you were allotted a portion of the good land. And after 50 years, what became of it? You know, that very question is something which a lot of people reaching my age ask themselves. And it becomes a crisis. What have you done with your life? How old are you? And that's all you've accomplished? Well, We have to, you know, I think there's three populations or three groups I want to share something to tonight. The first is the young people and old people. Young and old. Then we call them the young working saints. That means you got out of college, you got a job, you're working, and you're full of. Oh, you're just full of hope and future. Wonderful things. Wonderful things are ahead. You're the most deceived. I wanted to share my testimony with you, but I don't know if there's time to do that. But saints, I'll get through the definition of the Jubilee. At a certain point, every 50 years, that's just right to get your allotment and squander it all. It takes 50 years to do that. Right, brother? You young ones, you don't know what it's about. You'll know what it means to squander your life someday if you continue on the course you're on now. You could very well, and there are many in this room who have a little less hair and a little more weight, who know, you know what I'm talking about. You question, you doubt the value of your life because of your accomplishment or lack thereof. That's the dilemma that faced the children of Israel. But in that year, the year of Jubilee, by declaration, just by fiat, by executive order, the Jubilee was proclaimed. And all who had lost their property regained it. Amen. Just like clean slate. Not just clean slate with all the money you started with. It's not just debt-free. It's debt plus gone plus capital. That's pretty good, right? And the bondage you had to sell yourself into to live is broken. Broken. You're no longer in bondage to sin, to the world, to your dreams that became disappointing and became a suffering. You're no longer in bondage to that. And you're restored to your family. You're restored to those for whom your life is the most meaningful or should be. You're restored. And that was regardless of how well you did. In fact, the worse you did, the better you'll be. Right? It's crazy, right? We're used to giving the top prize, you know, the golden cup, you know, clear plastic, you're a winner thing, you know. To go to the winners, not go to losers, people who squandered everything. And then repented toward the end. When in human life, it's too late. Too late. But in God's economy, that's the very time He pleases to restore you to your portion, restore you to your family, and release you from all the bondages that you're under. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah! I think I'm disappointing some of you. You don't sound real happy. Well, anyway, saints, that's the Jubilee in history, in political economy, in the nation of Israel. And there's never been anything like it. There never will be anything like it. And the Jews, they didn't even practice it themselves. Never. That's why when the Lord drove them off the land for their idolatry and their sinfulness, That's when the land finally got its jubilee. The jubilee to the land was the captivity to the children of Israel. Because the land should have a jubilee. Your horses should have a jubilee. Well, anyway, that's the type in the Old Testament. Then the next message is on the blessings of the jubilee. My goodness. The blessings are, as we just said, to be returned. You know, in the word says, be returned. That doesn't even mean you return. You and I are so in a mess that we even know we're away, but we don't turn. We even know we're not going along with the Lord, but we don't turn. So, as with the prodigal son, he came to his senses. And we know this morning, he came to his senses because the fine woman, the Holy Spirit, lit a lamp, the Word of God, and searched in your inward heart. Amen. You don't know how it happened. A brother told me today he read a book called The Sky Pilot. Amen. Right, Bill? Where are you, Bill? Yeah. He read a book called The Sky Pilot. And the book struck him so much that while he was driving home one night, thinking about this book, thinking about what it was saying, he all of a sudden declared, "There is God!" Right, Bill? There is. There is God. Did he do that? No. Did we seek out to find the Lord in truth and serve him all our days? No way. Not us. Not us. But he sought us out. And he, as the parable says, he bore us on his shoulder and he brought us to the Father's house. And the enjoyments, the blessings of Jubilee are the restoration of our property, our portion in Christ, and our release from captivity, our release from bondage. The brothers, we were enjoying the Lord the other night in preparation for the conference, and I still didn't have the feeling within that I was released from bondage. So this is the Lord has great things to do with us and for us in the Jubilee. But the Lord brought this prodigal, this foolish young man to his senses by the Spirit, and he came back with the wrong proposal. "I'd like to be your servant. I was cleaning hogs. I do a pretty good job on the pens, you know. And if you give me a break, I'll work and I'll just eat your servant's food. Is that good enough? Can I do that?" That was a petition to his father. And his father said, "You young fool, go get the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his feet and kill the fatted calf." I was thinking, maybe his dad was just a really hard taskmaster, but I don't think so. Maybe that's why he was just a fool, and he was lazy. He was lazy and a fool. But the Lord received him, for the Father received him into his house, and he began to enjoy the blessings of Jubilee. And the centermost, the greatest blessing of the Jubilee is the fatted calf, the crucified Christ. Not for our redemption only, but for our enjoyment. Amen. For our enjoyment. That's a word we're real familiar with. But I would just ask you to consider, how is your enjoyment of Christ? How? How is your enjoyment of Christ? Is it true that often you have found yourself brought into an ecstasy? Ecstasy. Doesn't mean every morning you wake up and go through the roof, you know, or just, no, it's not bad. But ecstasy, are you brought into a state? There's a good definition of ecstasy in here that I didn't recall. Read that definition. Does that characterize your Christian life? Well, in most instances, it probably won't, but it should. It should. The chief blessing of the Jubilee is not that you are delivered from your, addiction to Korean novels, right? Or I hear that's really big. Korean, what's that? Dramas. That's right, dramas. Yeah, not novels. Dramas. They're just blanketing everywhere, right? Korean soap opera kind of thing, right? Is that what it is? Anyway, drama. Oh, I've got no drama in my life. I need some drama. If I got to get it from a Korean novel, I'm going to get it. Nothing wrong with that at all. The only trouble is when you go to spend time with the Lord, you go, oh, well, you know, I need a little drama, Lord. Actually, you're hooked. You're hooked on your drama. You know, saints, I'll just expose myself to you. A lot of brothers like sports, big time. You know, it's like, Michael. Stephen, all the young people would know what I'm talking about. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? I won't even say his name. Any of them. You're hooked. That's your food. That's your jubilee. That's your portion. That's what makes life livable. The people on the weekends, they go home from working every day. Imagine working every day. It's one of your few salvations, having to work all the time. They're just caught. They're hooked. They're addicted. They cannot control themselves. Is that something just the worldly people are struggling with? They don't struggle. Worldly people don't struggle. They just go for it. Amen. Get their face full of it and get sick, tired of it, and come back for more the next weekend or Thursday if Friday's off. Saints, this is the real blessings of Jubilee. We are no longer enslaved. I know a lot of people who, when they receive the Lord, they have a bad habit, and it's gone. It just goes. Where'd it go? The same brother was telling me they used to have a bad temper. When he met the Lord, it's gone. It's gone. He did not resolve to no longer be upset with his kids. It's just gone. The more he enjoyed his salvation, the more he was free. Amen. From temper. Freedom from evil temper and anger, glorious freedom, rapture untold. Amen. When I was young in the brother's house, we had so many brothers coming into the church life that we had to put them on 3x6 aluminum cots on a 1-inch pad of plasticized foam and put them in the basement. I don't mean a family room in the basement, right? I mean where the cars went. We had to put the cars out on the street and put the brothers in the basement. One morning I went, we had morning revival at 6:30 in the morning. We had to walk about a half an hour to get to the meeting hall and all those things. Impossible stuff to do, right? But this young brother, he had just touched the Lord. He was really enjoying Jubilee. And I went down and said, "Okay, brothers, let's go. And he told me later, he said, "Jim, if you'd done that to me just a week or two ago, I would have been a bear. I would have, who's waking me up?" And he said, "I can't understand what happened to me. I don't know what happened." He's just happy. He told me, "I don't know what happened to me." What happened to him? Jubilee! That bed was so warm and cozy. And, you know, it's the same bed that he couldn't get out of a few weeks earlier when I came to visit him, because he had planned to get up in the morning and get out of the house before I came. And I got there, and he was still in the house, running around to get his coat on and everything. And then I said, "Hey, Matthew, how are you?" "That's Brother Matthew." Well, praise the Lord. He was... What happens to people? What happens to us? What happens is we are the recipients of the Jubilee. Amen. The Jubilee of grace. I've realized from my own experience and from fellowship with others and from the ministry that the difference, the distance between what we think is the enjoyment of Christ and the law is very difficult to discern. You're serving the Lord. You're progressing. You want to be an overcomer. Great. But a lot of what we do, saints, a lot of what we do is not motivated by the life-giving Spirit. But it's motivated by the labor of being good. It's hard to be good. I have sympathy for all the young people, because I were a young people once. And I just tried and tried and tried. I tried. I came from a family of folks who all wished they could have been missionaries. Huh. That's my environment. And I tried. I was a good boy. I tried. And eventually one day I just said, "Forget this. I can't do this." They'd say, "Jim, can you give a testimony?" I said, "Testimony about what? I got nothing to say." I was tired of the labor of being good. You want to be a good brother? You want to be a good sister? That is a labor of the law. You are distracted from Christ. And only the Lord can show that to you. Don't let anybody tell you you're religious and you're blah, blah, blah. You have to let the Lord tell you that. Until he does, be a little religious. It's safer. It is. Young people I'm talking to. Don't throw away everything. But this is the condition, saints. When we should be enjoying the blessings of Jubilee, we are entering into a difficult experience. We're short of the Jubilee of grace. We're short of entering into the age when everything has been done. I don't know to what extent that truth has sunk into us. I don't know. When I was this kid, and I said, "Forget it, I'm out of here." And then I met the Lord. And I read in Machmani's book, the brothers brought it up in the recent training. Sit, Walk, Stand. And I read the first page of that book lying on my sofa couch in my living room at UC, and it said, "Christianity does not begin with a big do. It begins with a big done." Amen. I said, "What is that?" doesn't begin with a big do. That's all I did. Big do. I'm gonna this and that. And everything just felt like a pancake splat. And then I read, Christianity doesn't begin with a big do. It begins with a big done. Chew on that. Savor that. This is not religion. This is the living person. This is Christ. This is the Jubilee. Well, I think it's almost time. Saints, I have a real heavy burden, and I have a burden that's come out of my own experience and realization for the last few years, several years. And I'd like to try and share it with you. And that is, when the Lord's recovery came to the U.S. in around 1962, eventually it culminated in 1969 in a revival. In a period of time, you could say, was a jubilee. It was an utter revival. And the presence of the Lord in our meetings and the voice of the Lord in our prophesying and praising were too evident. And when I came in among that, I got saved. I didn't want to get saved. I didn't think I needed to be saved. I didn't think you could be saved. But I got caught by the Lord. Well, at that time, Brother Lee's focus was on calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. And pray, reading his word. Amen. Just these two things. These two things. Accompanying the ministry of the word at that time. Well, from there, that was principally on the enjoyment of Christ. As our food and our drink, which is this, the living in the Jubilee is a living eating. Yes, right. Eating and drinking. Amen. How many of you have babies? How many of you have under 2 years old? Yeah, Vera Morgan Mock. All right, brother. Okay, just three people got babies? We're going to be gone in another 20 years. Come on, let me see the hands. Because you're clear about what I'm going to tell you already. I just want everybody to be impressed. What is it about raising a child? What do you have to do? Do you have to take them to school to learn to comb their hair? Or to say, hello? Hello, Brother Miller. Do you have to do that? Well, maybe at the right time. What do you have to do? What do you spend most of your time doing, Henry? Feed her. Yeah, feed her. Tummy, tummy, good, good. Thanks. And then what else? You just feed her? Drink. This is this message. This message is you need to eat and you need to drink. And you don't need to do really much of anything else. Amen. It's true. Amen. The mother's job, and nowadays increasingly the father's shared responsibility, is hard. You got to feed this kid whenever he's hungry. And you don't know what he wants to eat. And you gave him something and he got hives all over him. It's not easy. It's not easy. Well, but what do you get? What's the result of all your sweat and tears and consternation? A little boy who will go to school and who will learn everything there is to learn and be a pride and joy to you. that's the living in the Jubilee. And you don't stop eating when you're 5 years old. Grandpa would not like that, right? Everyone has to eat. How's your eating? How is your eating? The all-inclusive Christ as the compound spirit has come to be everything to us. How's your eating? Just, we have to ask ourselves these things, saints, before the Lord. Lord, how is my enjoyment with you? Lord, one of the biggest problems when kids reach a certain age is they don't want to eat. They want to play. And then they want to go to sleep. And then they want to wake up and run around. This, the Lord has the same problem, saints. Our biggest problem is we need to eat and drink the Lord.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean call on the Lord three times and read a message together and go home. We need time with the Lord. You know, the world today is far more complex and busy and demanding than it was in medieval England. You got too many things to worry about. We have all this wealth that we've been qualified to enjoy, and it's left on our table or on our bookshelf or in our book bag. Largely. I hope I'm not coming across as scolding you, but I'm telling you, saints, we have, number one, we are in the age of Jubilee.
Amen.
Number two, we don't need to pray to be released. That's a prayer of unbelief. That's like saying, I am so out of it. I'm in my mind all the time, and I got kids, and I just blow my step up. Oh, Lord. Release me, Lord. And I think if we could hear the Lord, he would just say, oh, I got to groan over you for a while longer. What's the deal? You're qualified. You're a child of God. You've been released from bondage. Eat. Enjoy.
Amen.
Enjoy what I've prepared for you.
Amen.
Don't enjoy what the Apple guy wants you to do. All he wants you to do is work like a slave. And okay, so what? You get profit sharing. Big deal. You need a big chunk of profit, your profit sharing earnings, just to buy a one bedroom bungalow. Nothing there. Or you're busy about your children. You're worried about your children. You're worried about your savings. You're worried about your health. You're worried about this. You're worried about all these things. All these things take us away from the table that has been set before us. And I'm the same. Or we're not even that. We're worried that much about things that are understandable. I was starting to tell you a little earlier about exposing myself. A lot of people like sports. I said that. I like to read the news. I have opinions. I like to have them cultivated and watered. Oh, how they grow. Right? Oh. That's what I like to do with that. Well, what's the solution? The solution is come and dine.
Amen.
Come and eat. We all have enough time in the morning before our busy day begins. I used to have morning revival with a young brother. He was in the seventh grade. I was way beyond grades. Way beyond. But we would get together every morning, and our morning revival was about an hour long. How about that? Now, I'm not suggesting you start out in an hour, but it's perfectly normal if you do, especially if you have a young brother you're shepherding, and who mostly can shepherd you a lot. A lot. Well, saints, I don't think I'm speaking very clearly to you, but I do have a heavy burden that we would have a renewing before the Lord of our participation in Jubilee. Amen. And we would go to the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, I still like to read my paper more than your word. I still like to watch, they don't have Korean on TV? Probably they do. Right? Lord, I'd rather watch a Korean drama than sing to you. I don't know why Korean dramas are so good, but they must really tickle your fancy or something. Just tell the Lord. Lord, it's a shame. I'm sharing, and I'm telling you, I like to read. I actually don't read newspapers anymore. I read the internet, you know, the news on the internet. There's no paper, but it's always there, right? Well, saints, the cure to enter into a living of the Jubilee rather than a knowing of the Jubilee and a struggling with the Jubilee and forget the Jubilee is to care adequately for our diet. Amen. For eating and drinking the Lord. Amen. And why is that so important? Well, you know, as I was saying earlier, the Lord's ministry in this country began with a great emphasis on the exercise of the Spirit by calling on the name of the Lord and by praying with the Word. And when that was recovered, there was a major revival. Not just here, on the whole earth. Wherever the Lord's testimony was, there was a revival, a upheaval, a throwing away of the old things, and a seizing Christ in his newness and his freshness. It was a revival. Well, how will the, and what was that revival? That revival was moving in the direction of, listen, living Christ. Living Christ. How do you live Christ? Well, it's really very simple. You don't purposely or intentionally or with effort or awareness live Christ. Just like the little baby that finished off three bowls of oatmeal and two cans of strained pears and a bottle of milk runs like a motor all over your house. Just, right? That's called living the pears. That's living the oatmeal. Saints, isn't it simple? Isn't it simple? And yet, we're prevented by the flesh. We're prevented by the law. We're prevented by religion. We're prevented by efforts to self-improve. We're prevented by idols. Idols. Anything that occupies our time other than the Lord and our heart is an idol. It's idolatrous. It's an idol. It's not just an innocent pastime. It is an idol. It is an offense to the Lord. It's an offense. So, how do we address this? I think we just need to come to the Lord, brothers and sisters, and through the trainings we're receiving, the life training and the trainings we received on calling on the Lord's name and pray reading the Lord's word, spending time with him in this way, the Lord surely he has the ability to bring us all into Jubilee in our living. So when we come to a meeting, that meeting will be an exhibition of our living. as it is right now. Our meetings oftentimes are short of what we would hope for, or we were looking for, we expected, because our feeding on Christ is inadequate, insufficient. And our, by prayer reading, and our drinking of Christ is inadequate. Maybe it's just enough to, like the rich man said, just give me a drop on my tongue to quench the burning. I just want to feel a little better, so I'll call on you. Saints, these are the things the Lord has given us. These are the practices the Lord's given us. And this is his goal, to bring us into a God-man living.
Amen.
Into the same living as the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Into the same living as the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
So may the Lord lead us. May the Lord burden us and speak to us and give us the heart to take this way and tell the Lord, Lord, that's the goal. That's where I'm going.
Amen.
I may be here. I may make a quarter of an inch of progress along the way. Next week, that's fine. I just don't want to go off the way.
Amen.
I don't want to forsake what the Lord intends for his people. Right? Then don't you believe if the Lord hears that, he'll respond to that? I believe the Lord has responded, saints. And we're in the process of receiving the Lord's word and speaking. He just needs a little bit of our cooperation. He just needs a little bit of our confession. He needs a little bit of humbling ourselves and opening ourselves and letting the Lord know our real need, which is just him. Right? Just to learn to feed on him day by day.
Amen.
In the church life.
Amen.
Not with the Gentiles mixed in with the unclean, but with the saints in the church.
Amen.
Right? If we're faithful to practice this, I believe the Lord will be faithful to bring us all the way. And now that I'm in my 50th year, nearing Jubilee, I'm asking the Lord to give me another 24 years. I was talking to Ben, and I were participating. Ben's 48. I'm 72. 72 by 3 is 24. Right? So you got 24, 48, 72, 96. Then he'll have a jubilee in his 50th year. Saints, this is the Lord's heart. This is the Lord's desperate need, and we're at a time when we can serve as a continuation of the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Or an end. Right? Amen. I just believe the Lord is with us very, very much. And I know he will speak to us all according to our measure and lead us on in this way, right? Into a living of the Jubilee, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.